I'm standing here at the UN with Dr. Meryl Nass, who has been fighting against the WHO.
The WHO, since its inception in 1948, has been an advisory body that provided recommendations and basically provided charity and helped the health systems of underdeveloped nations. And it did that for 75 years, but 2 years ago it was discovered by globalists that it was a cheap date and it could be taken over. It has a budget of less than $4 billion a year. 85% of that comes from donations. So its funders actually now, through public-private partnerships, run 75% of the programming of the WHO. And they, in conjunction with pliable leaders of nations, including Joe Biden of the U.S., decided to create massive amendments to an existing treaty called the International Health Regulations, and to create a new document called the Pandemic Treaty or Pandemic Agreement. And these documents would then centralize control of public health during emergencies within the WHO and allow the Director General to issue orders that would have to be obeyed by the 194 member states of the WHO.
For most people, when they think of WHO, think that it's a benevolent health organization that's trying to protect everybody in the world.
Yes, and it absolutely was. But beginning about 20, 25 years ago, it slowly was converted into an organization that was taking in most of its money from donors, including the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, Wellcome Trust, Rockefeller Fund, pharmaceutical companies, etc. And 85% of its budget comes from these donors. So the organization transformed into a public-private partnership, and now it is transforming again in an attempt to become the global governor of healthcare. Now, the way it accomplished this is, as we saw during COVID, there was already control of national governments in most of the Western world, who all went lockstep with the same rules, regulations, and restrictions throughout Europe, Australia, New Zealand, Canada, the UK, as well as the US. None of them were allowed to use hydroxychloroquine or ivermectin. All of them were recommending remdesivir, ventilators, and vaccines. And the vaccines were massively promoted, even though it was known within 2 months of the rollout that they did not work. And after about 6 months, they make you more susceptible to COVID. In addition, they cause myocarditis, heart attacks, and blood clots, as well as winding up in all the organs of your body. So the spike protein can go anywhere and damage the blood vessels to any organ, causing organ failure or other problems. The WHO was behind the promotion of all of these policies and continues to stand by them today. What has happened is that our national governments, the mainstream media, and the WHO have lied and misrepresented what is in the documents. That is the only way they could get people to accept them. And our own elected officials were given bullet point papers that lied about what was in the documents because nobody wants to read 90 pages of legalese. However, finally, I and others have been reading it. We've been interpreting it. We've been showing screenshots. We've been showing people what's really in these documents, what the true intention of the WHO and its funders is. And finally, 49 U.S. senators, 24 U.S. governors, and 22 attorneys general, all Republicans, because they were the easier ones to get to, have said no, they will not comply. The senators demand that these treaties be put before the Senate for ratification, where they will fail because they require a two-thirds vote. And the governors and the attorneys general have said they will not enforce the WHO's orders in their state, and the WHO has no jurisdiction whatsoever in their states. This is critically important. That message got out to the rest of the world, and people started saying, wow, if all of these American politicians say there's a big problem and that this is a sovereignty grab, maybe what we thought was in these documents isn't really true. They started reading them. They realized what we're saying here in the U.S. is fact. And now the nations around the world are suddenly saying, no, they're not able to go along. And as of yesterday, the negotiating teams for both the amendments to the health regulations and the new pandemic treaty have failed. Neither team of negotiators has been able to come up with a document. So for the moment, we are out of the woods. The bureaucrats at the WHO are likely to try to create some new document that they can get everyone to say okay to and call some sort of victory. But we have won and they have lost. What we have to do, though, is watch, because the globalists who are seeking world governance are not going to stop with this. They're moving on to the UN, which is right across the street from us. In September, the UN Secretary General is asking the General Assembly to agree to giving him the right to call global shock emergencies whenever he wishes, and then tell the world how they have to behave when he declares one. This is an identical program as what the WHO was trying to do. The idea was you won't know what's in the emergency platform document. You sign it now, you'll find out later what's in it. And there are no standards that would limit the Secretary General from declaring anything a global shock.
Well, we know, though, that if rulers of the United States want something, they'll find some other way of making it happen. What do you suspect? How will the WHO and the others maneuver in order to get this through?
The maneuvering always takes place behind closed doors. You know, there's always bribery, threats. We don't know what's going to happen. What we do know is the African bloc of 54 nations usually hangs together, and they've been told to hang together on this. There was really nothing very useful for them in the documents, and so they've said no. And if you've got a bloc of 54 countries saying no, it's really hard to get past that. We've also got 15 or 16 countries that have already said they're not going along. Unfortunately, leaders from two of those countries were attacked or perhaps had accidents. One was shot multiple times, the Prime Minister of Slovakia, who had said he wasn't going along with either document at the WHO. He was shot a little over a week ago. And the foreign minister and the president of Iran just had a helicopter crash and are both dead. Those were two countries that had said no. I've advised heads of state not to make their choice known in advance, but to absolutely, when it comes, or if it comes to a vote, because the WHO bureaucracy does not like votes, they like to claim consensus. But if there's a vote, it's very necessary to stand up and say no, and don't let them claim a false consensus.
What do you think that people here, this people in the U.S., can do about this?
What we have to do first is turn off NPR, the New York Times, and all the mainstream media, and find alternative media that are telling you the truth. Unfortunately, even though nobody likes to read these documents, it's necessary. At least read the screenshots, find out what's true, verify it yourself, know what's true, and share it with everybody you know, because this is an attempt to take away our freedoms, to destroy the Bill of Rights and the Constitution, and we've got to fight back. This isn't going to be the end of the road, but it looks like we've won the first battle.
That was Dr. Merrill Nass, who's one of the leading critics of the World Health Organization's plans. I next went on to interview Reggie Littlejohn, who's the founder and president of the Anti-Globalist International. I usually have different politics than Littlejohn. We discuss some of that here. I'm speaking with Reggie Littlejohn, who's an attorney.
I'm the president of Anti-Globalist International and also the co-founder of the Sovereignty Coalition, founder and president of Women's Rights Without Frontiers. Merrill is a member of the Sovereignty Coalition. Sovereignty Coalition is a group of concerned activists, doctors, lawyers, who want to stop totalitarian power grab by the World Health Organization. The contribution that I make is I'm an attorney and I've analyzed, you know, the pandemic agreement, the international health regulations, and getting the message out to the world about the dangers of these things. The international health regulation amendments and the pandemic treaty negotiations fell apart yesterday afternoon. They had a deadline. Actually, they had a deadline 4 months ago of getting out a draft. They couldn't do it. They were working right up to the World Health Assembly and have failed to produce a draft. So I'm going to be going to Geneva for the World Health Assembly tomorrow. And they were going to be voting on the pandemic treaty and the amendments to their national health regulations, but they were unable to come up to an agreement. Although, who knows, they could just try to come up with an agreement over the weekend and then spring it on everybody next week. But there are many dangers of these agreements. The pandemic agreement, for example, has something called One Health. And One Health is an ideology that says human health is connected to animal health, is connected to plant health, is connected to the environment, which sounds reasonable, except that it can be abused to require surveillance of every aspect of life on Earth. And also, One Health is never clearly defined, or it's not definitively defined, but trying to define it, The Lancet magazine, which is a very prestigious medical journal, said that One Health holds that all life is equal and of equal concern, and that human life and animal life and plant life have to be balanced, meaning that your life, my life, the life of our loved ones is equal and of equal concern to a life of a mosquito or, you know, a cockroach or whatever else. But One Health says that everything comes under health, so that they want, you know, they want to have control of the economy, because, you know, economics can affect health. They want to have control of just about every single thing that you can think of that's an aspect. So this One Health is a pretext to surveil basically all aspects of life on Earth. And how are they going to surveil it? They're going to surveil it through something called a digital ID. Digital ID is currently being rolled out by the World Health Organization and the European Union. And you'll need a digital ID in order to vote, to access government benefits, to pay your taxes, to participate in social media, to own a computer, to own a cell phone, to travel. And so this is a tool of totalitarian control.
As a member of the Green Party, which I am, we long ago predicted that the U.S. and other countries would use health concerns in order to smack down a totalitarian state on people. I wrote many articles about that. And this is a way that some of the right wing and some of the left wing can get together, I think.
Yes, absolutely. Well, it's amazing that you predicted this, but...
Well, it was obvious at the time. We were fighting against the pesticide spraying in New York, and the left was nowhere to be seen for the most part, and the right was nowhere to be seen. And it was just a core group independent of both, which was shocking because I've been a leftist all my life, and now I'm finding myself isolated from some of my peers.
Yeah, this is not a left-right issue. This is like a freedom versus fascism kind of issue. Everybody should be opposed to totalitarian control. Everybody should be opposed, you know, it's like the China social credit system, where they have a digital ID that tracks every aspect of their lives. They have facial recognition, they have real-time geolocation, so they know what you look like, where you are, all your internet search history, your internet spending history, your criminal record, your medical record, your credit cards, your bank accounts are all on this ID, and they track whether or not you are a compliant Chinese, you know, sheep. And if you are, you have freedom. And if you dissent, then they will shut you down.
It's not only China that's doing that.
That's what I'm saying is I became very alarmed to see the China model being exported worldwide through the World Health Organization and these digital IDs. And you know, everybody who cares about freedom needs to oppose this. And I don't care whether you're on the left or on the right. No one's in favor of everybody becoming like a digital slave.
People don't know that Fort Detrick was shut down by the CDC in October 2019, just 2 months before the pandemic, because they were afraid of things escaping from it. And there have been no public hearings. They may have been in secret, but there are no public hearings about why they shut it down. It would be very interesting to see if some of the Congress people can raise this issue. Why did the CD shut down Fort Detrick, which is the U.S. biowarfare facility?
Yeah, that would be a very interesting thing to investigate. You know? And is there a connection between Fort Detrick and Wuhan is another question.
Dr. Merrill Nass and Reggie Littlejohn spoke at the Rally for Medical Freedom at the United Nations.
This is what the EU is doing. This is what the United States is doing. It's rolled out its global health security plan last month, what it wants to do for the next few years. The WHO has rolled out some of its plan for the next 5 years, which involves pandemics and vaccines, a lot of vaccines. Why vaccines? Because that's where the money is. So the plan is vaccines that will be developed in 100 days, manufactured in 30 more days. There's no way they can be licensed. They will be unlicensed. They will probably be untested in humans. And then they will be rolled out with no liability to the people of the world, all at the same time, so that we won't know what the side effects are until everybody has been vaccinated. And the plan is that Africa doesn't get a pass this time. Asia doesn't get a pass. They have to have 100%, just like the United States and Europe have to get 100% buy-in of these vaccines. So that's the plan going forward. There looks like they're going to fail with this. They're going to try to push it in other ways. They're already telling us monkeypox is a problem. The Public Health Office of Oregon has just said this week children age 5 and up can go get their monkeypox shot. I'm not kidding, monkeypox shot. Monkeypox is no worse than shingles. The two monkeypox shots that exist both cause myocarditis, the same side effect as COVID shots. One in 30 had elevation of cardiac enzymes that got the ACAM2000 monkeypox vaccine. And one in 10 in one study and one in 18 had elevation of cardiac enzymes for the JYNNEOS vaccine. There's not even any evidence that these vaccines work. Do not get them. All right, then the next thing is the bird flu vaccine. So now the big scare is bird flu. And that works again against the food supply, because how do you control people? You control the food supply. So if you tell us that we can't eat chickens, we can't eat eggs, we can't eat beef, and we can't drink milk or have milk products, that's pretty good from a virus that has only ever affected 3 Americans with very mild illnesses. 2 cases of conjunctivitis, 1 prisoner who was culling chickens who said he felt fatigued for 4 days. That's it. Bird flu has mutated since 20 years ago. It did kill people. How many people did bird flu kill in the entire world over 25 years? Less than 500. Less than 20 people a year on average have died of bird flu, and yet they want to vaccinate the planet. We know why. And they're not going to tell us what's in those vaccines, just like we still don't know what's in the COVID vaccines. So this is what they're doing moving forward. In September, there's going to be a meeting of the UN General Assembly right across the street, and the nations will be asked to give the Secretary General Guterres permission to roll out an emergency platform for global shocks. And the plan is identical to what the WHO is doing. There will be no standards for when he declares one. He'll just be able to decide on his own bat, it's time to declare a global shock, and then that's it. He rolls out the emergency platform and tells every nation what to do. The nations will find out, they'll sign on, okay, develop an emergency platform, they'll find out later what's in it. So we're going to have to stop that too. We don't know what else they're going to try, but remember, it's every one of these multilateral agencies, and our tax dollars are paying for all of them. It's time to say no, realize this is a long battle. They've been in this for decades. We may have to be in it for decades too. They don't want to go to war with us. There's 8 billion of us against a few thousand of them. We're going to win. Spread the word. Thank you.
Mitchell Cohen, WBAI Pacifica Radio, outside the United Nations at the Medical Freedom Rally, New York City.